but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, we talked about it in hour one. Remarkable performance that took place in Eugene at Hayward Field. If you saw it, and you are a fan of young people doing big things, a 16-year-old ran the 800 meters in 142.27 at the U.S. National Track Championships in Eugene. It was a mind-bending performance. Cooper Lutkenhouse finished second in the race, and he will now advance to represent the United States in the World Championships in Tokyo. Our next guest, Doug Binder, good friend of this show, editor-in-chief of DieStat, all over track and field. I want to bring him on to talk about that and everything else that happened at the U.S. Championships. Doug, how impressive was that to watch a 16-year-old do what he did in the 800?
You know, I think the word you're looking for is Beeman-esque. He did something
like that
just broke the limits of what you thought anyone could do at that age.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, everybody, like the field in that race, you got Donovan Brazier, who's 28 years old. He's a great comeback story. He's a former world champion. I think you had three former world champions in that field. It isn't like this high schooler ran by a bunch of schmucks.
Yeah. Absolutely. All three of the world champions in that race all are thinking, hey, I can go win a medal at the world championships in Tokyo. And two of them got beat by a kid who's going to be a junior in high school in about 3 weeks.
That's crazy. He's going to go to prom, but first he's going to probably end up in September going to Tokyo. Did you see it coming? Did you think that watch this high school kid, or as the race is developing and he's in sixth place, are you kind of watching his kick going, holy hell?
Well, definitely we're watching him. And I think the discussion before the race was everyone was asking each other in the mix zone, where's Cooper going to finish? And most people thought, you know, he could run in the 144s maybe, and he might get as high as fourth or fifth or sixth maybe. No one thought he could beat those top three guys. And yet, I mean, when he came off the final curve and just started mowing everyone down, it was just like, you know, we're just learning as he's learning what his talents are. You know, like he's never been in a position where he's had to go chase after the fastest people in the world, and yet he just learned that he could do that.
The world championships will be a different stage, but how do you expect him to compete in September? And maybe the question is more about, you know, this is part of his journey, and, you know, we're going to be watching this kid, it looks like, for the foreseeable future. But what are your expectations in September?
Yeah, I think, you know, the expectations, if we look at what happened last year with Quincy Wilson, who made the Olympic team in the relay pool as in the same age, coming out of sophomore year of high school. He didn't run great at the Olympics, but he got the experience, you know, he's going to be building on that for another decade. With Cooper Lutkenhouse, you know, he just went through three rounds at Hayward Field. He's going to have to do that again in Tokyo. I think he'll feel a bit more pressure there than he did it in Eugene, where he felt like the semifinal was really his final. Like that was probably his own, like as far as he was going to make it. Now there's going to be a lot of hype around him, and people are going to be wondering, you know, can he make the podium in Tokyo? I mean, if you're that fast, you can make the podium, but can he hold together mentally and compete with all the best guys around the world. I think he'll do well. As long as he stays healthy, he should do well. He'll be surrounded by, again, Donovan Brazier and Bryce Hopple, who have been there, and they'll be mentoring him, I'm sure, along the way. But with a kid that young, it's hard to place big bets on that, you know, right. That it wouldn't put the farm on a 16-year-old kid. But I mean, he's just amazed everybody, and so you just what would you put past him at this point?
The 800 meters, for listeners who don't know, two laps on a 400 meter track, is a it's an absolute chess match. It's guts. It is probably the greatest race people don't talk about. Doug, can you help people understand a little bit of what goes into running the 800?
Yeah. So it's like it's a sprint, and it's also a distance race. It's sort of like that sweet spot in between running all out as hard as you can for two laps and, you know, trying to maybe hold on to a little something so that you can kick at the end. I mean, you're on a very you're on a razor's edge the whole way. I mean, this is the event that Nick Simmons was once the best in the United States at. It's one of the marquee events. Now, one of the funniest things that this kid said in the mix zone after he did this, he said he relied on middle school tactics. And people were like, what are you talking about? Well, this is only his fourth year of running track, and he learned in middle school that you get to the last half lap, and that's when you give it all you got. That's when you sprint. And so relying on middle school tactics, which I think that belongs on a T-shirt somewhere, but he just was faster than everybody else in the last 100 meters. He ran the last 112.48 seconds, and you could win a girls' state championship in the 100 meters in a lot of states with 12:48.
It's a cool story for the rest of us. It made me think about Jim Ryan. It made me think about LeBron and Kobe. And let's, you know, how big is this for a high school kid to be, you know, on this stage doing what he's doing? Really cool discussion. I have to think, though, in that world of track and field, the other competitors, how is this playing with them? Like, do they say the right thing publicly, but are they looking over at him like, no way am I letting this kid, 16-year-old kid, beat me?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, they if they could have prevented it, they would have, right? Like, some kids just come along that are so good at something that they don't know how, they don't know where the limits are until they bump up against them. And we didn't know how good this kid was. You know, he came to Nike Outdoor Nationals in June at Hayward Field and ran 1:45 in the rain, on a cold day in the rain, and did all that work by himself without chasing anybody, but except, trying to beat his own time on the clock. So, he's super talented, and certainly people were thinking he would run faster with a lot of competition in the race. But man, to have that much courage and poise and strength and everything that goes into a great 400 meters, like, it's just beyond what you would expect any 16-year-old to have.
Doug Bender with us, talking about track and field, editor in chief of DieStat. The attendance for the event, you know, I was seeing numbers daily that were like 5,000 to 6,000. I know there's some exhaustion with the Prefontaine NCAA championships, the Olympic trials not that far long ago, and people sort of getting to see Hayward Field. How much does that exhaustion, fan exhaustion with the peripheral track and field fan, play into the attendance?
Yeah, I think there's some of that. You know, it's a little bit late in the season to have meets at Hayward Field. A lot of people in Oregon are, you know, they're on vacation, they're camping, they're whatever. You can watch the thing on TV. Like, do you have to be there all day, especially if it turns out to be a hot day? Do you want to sit in the sun all day? I think that, there's, you know, the Prefontaine Classic back on July 5th was an incredible meet. If you've seen that, do you really have to go back and see the USA Nationals? Like, I think there's people making choices about which meets they want to go watch. Maybe over 4 days, they'll go one day, but not the other three or something like that. But Yeah, I don't know if it's concerning to the meet organizers or whether they're okay with just letting people watch it on the tube.
Doug, you had a chance now to see the new Hayward under multiple events. What did they get right? What could they have done better?
That's a good question. What did they get right? You know, it's beautiful, right? I mean, for every angle, inside, outside, everything about it is state of the art. The seats are great. There's no bad place to sit in there. The athletes all rave about how great the track is, all the amenities. The concessions are amazing. If you've ever been to the, you know, there's the one where you can get the chicken and waffles, and then they've got this waffle sandwich with ice cream in it that's incredible. Like some of the best food you've ever had at a sporting event. It rains in Eugene, and they didn't build the roof isn't big enough to cover very many people when that happens, but it doesn't happen too often that there's a rainstorm during the meet, although, you know, like I said, when it happens, people are going to get wet. It's every time you go as a member of the media, the setup is different. It's not super friendly for the media sometimes. It's always a different setup. You know, we're stuck in a tent behind the stadium. We don't even see most of the events live. We just watch them on TV and wait for the athletes to come in and talk to us. So, you know, there's some things there that we gripe about, I guess, in the tent. But I think for the fans, spectators, you couldn't ask for a better place to watch a track meet if that's what you're into.
I was, you know, thinking about the 16-year-old phenom and looking at Donovan Brazier, who was a Texas A&M runner, Oregon track and field in general. Why is Oregon track and field not national champion every year? I know there were some people who were disappointed to see the men outdoor maybe fall a little flat at the end of the year, but what do you make of sort of the high school scene? Is Oregon getting the best high school kids? Is it focus too much on international athletes? What's your take on that?
Oregon is, you know, Jerry Schumacher just took over a couple of years ago, and I think he's building his own, you know, he's building what he wants to build there. Now, the women did win the NCAA Indoor Championship in March, mm-hmm. and then they immediately graduated a couple of their key people. So, you know, it goes a little bit in cycles. I think there are certainly really good pieces coming into the Oregon program now, not necessarily high school kids, but they're grabbing some real talented people out of the portal and probably, you know, probably paying for them as well. But, you know, they're adding a world record holder in the men's discus who is leaving Cal to come to Oregon for his last year next spring. They're getting the NCAA champion in the decathlon is moving over from Mississippi State. Like, by next year, if they're not, I would give them a pass, I guess, on this past season and say that they're not in the mix for the championship next year, then there is a problem because they're going to be loaded.
Cooper Lutkenhouse will only be a junior. He's a Texas kid, Fort Worth, Texas high school in that region. Where's he going to go to college, and what is sort of that path for a star young athlete?
Is he going to go to college? I mean, right. He could, people would love to see him go to college and continue to develop and get coached by a great, you know, middle distance coach. But, you know, there's also going to be a lot of, you know, people coming after him to sign a pro mm-hmm. deal as soon as yesterday, mm-hmm. After what he's done, because he's the talk of the sport right now. And so he has an NIL deal with Nike. Nike has got about 40 high school kids that they give what they call Nike Elite NIL packages to. But I'm sure that's being renegotiated. If he is sort of in Nike's camp, I mean, Nike probably would get the first crack at him. But between him and his father and high school coach, they're going to have to decide what do they want to do. And I'm sure they're going to be talking to a lot of people over the next month about options.
Doug, I really appreciate your time. For people who want to find Doug's work and others like it, DieStat is where you find it. Editor-in-Chief Doug Bender with us. I appreciate your time, man. Great stuff, great insight.
Of course. Anytime, John. Appreciate it.
All right. There he goes. Cooper Lutkenhaus. Will he go to college? That becomes a question. Leave it here. You get the bald-faced truth.